why today.
A shark sighting in Massachusetts. Perfect timing for the start of Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. I don't care what your stripes are, left, right, or somewhere in between. If you want to throw in your two cents, you can here on ATN. That's the beauty of this show. 800-259-5791. Before we even set the table, we're giving you the number. 800-259-5791. We like to call it water cooler at its best here on these airwaves. And I think everybody can relate to something a little bit on the lighter side, but on the gross side. Since you're getting ready, some of you, for another work week, if you ever go and decide, okay, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to pack a healthy dinner or lunch, and I'm going to do it for a week. I'm not going to get any fast food. I'm not going to take those quick breaks. I'm not going to do any of that. But you fall off the wagon. You end up going out with people, and you leave your lunch, your meal, whatever, in the refrigerator. And who knows what grows on the stuff that you leave in the refrigerator by the time a couple of days have passed. You know what I'm talking about. Or maybe your meal isn't even there. I think a lot of businesses, which I don't understand this, have problems with people who just take what's ever in the fridge. And that always bothered me because I thought, wow, how do you take someone else's stuff and feel good about eating it, especially if it's like a sandwich? I worked at one broadcasting company, who shall be nameless, CBS, and the people there must have not made enough money because the second it was in the fridge, we timed it one time trying to find somebody, trying to figure out who was taking it, and I think it was within a half an hour and meals started to disappear. Whew, there's a problem there. Anyway, we're going to talk to my pal Greg Stebbin from Men's Health Magazine in another 10 minutes about that very same thing since we're kicking off another week here on America Tonight. And it is the first week of August, which is good news for the people in the Gulf Coast because you've got a lot of crews that are preparing to start really plugging, getting the mud, doing the system that is supposed to shut this sucker down for good. You know, the oil well, just shut it off. The static kill is what they call it. And this is maybe the beginning of the end of a very long, sad story with twists and turns that will eventually be made into a television cheap movie somewhere on one of the cable networks. April 20th is when it all started. The temporary cap, thank goodness, has worked in the last 3 weeks. But now it's about shutting it down forever and ever, at least until everything's cleaned up and everything's knocked down. I mean, really forever and ever is the idea here. So far, all systems ahead, and we're going to let you hear what the Admiral, Thad Allen, had to say about the latest twist on this one. But it's all positive news as that has been being pumped out for the last, I guess, probably week or so. And there is no certainty still, even with this. You launch this kill, maybe Tuesday. You shove mud, probably some cement, into the blown-out well. That makes it easier to plug it up. And you end the big story of the summer. And you end the nightmare for the people, at least, of more oil coming out in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and Pensacola and a few of the parts of Florida, some of the beach territory in Florida. So the good news is that is happening. And all signs are pointing to positives. But there's no definites. There's no definites on this. You've got these chemical dispersants. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week because a lot of people are complaining about that. All that stuff was there on the fishing grounds. And Louisiana has absolutely gotten hit the worst by this spill because the people who make their living, truly make their living, and have for generations, whether it's shrimping, going for oysters, fish, whatever. And they really have been shut down by this. But now, if the relief well works and that cement can seal things up in this 18,000-foot well that they've been working on and choke it up for good, at least that part of the sad environmental disaster is over with. Then it's a question of catching up with people as far as payments are concerned, and in moving forward, what happens with that moratorium? Because the moratorium right now is through November. What happens to drilling and deep water drilling in this country? Everybody forgets, but it was maybe 3 weeks before the spill, President Obama was talking about more wells, more pumping, opening up the Atlantic region, and a few people blinked once. Ultimately, the Deepwater Horizon went down. A lot of people blinked. And a lot of conspiracies started to churn out there. And why not? It's tailor-made for that. The timing was just so odd. And it's undeniable. All right, big story when it comes to Mother Nature. And it's about floods and... unfortunately, for the people in Pakistan, in one particular region, floodwaters just wreaked havoc with lives and families, because almost 1,200 people are dead right now. In a very impoverished country, a particular area in the Northwest, racked by the worst in that country's history. I mean, wiping out whole villages, leaving families that are sitting on the top of collapsed houses trying to get hope for rescue. And the catastrophe has terrible timing because it opens up a brand new front in the war against Islamic militants with both groups, because the Taliban is trying to step up to the plate to help with aid. This is tailor-made for them, competing to deliver anything they can. Now, see, now you have the Taliban threat, the Taliban offering to help, and the U.S. also saying that they're going to pony up and try to help whoever they can in that region, whatever families they can, through this terrible destruction. Because the floods really wiped out houses and shops and cars and crops and people. And there's no money that comes from that government. And if they haven't been able to get out of there, they haven't been able to get out of there by boat, they're running out of food. If you remember, the army launched a major, major offensive against the Taliban in the Swat Valley last spring, and that started a fight that caused terrible destruction and drove out about 2 million people probably from some of the villages then. And now you have this thing with the floods. So, hey, the U.S. had a pony up there. They stepped in promising $10 million, I think, in emergency aid. And this is at a critical time for the Obama administration, because they're trying to quell that anti-American sentiment in Pakistan and try to get the country to support in helping to turn the Afghan war around, especially what happened a week and a half ago with WikiLeaks. They need more help than ever because of the attitude that's starting to permeate in Afghanistan. All right, we're taking a 180 on the flip side. Look inside your fridge. You might be able to relate.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for heart and body extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for heart and body extract.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. It is becoming painfully obvious the Washington bailout is running out of steam and the economy is showing signs of a double-dip recession. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are majority of your assets tied up in the stock or bond market? If so, are those assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless, and they'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
You take your lunch to work, your dinner to work, and then you take it and you throw the sack back in the fridge. And then what happens to that refrigerator? I have never, sad to say, I have never worked for a broadcast organization, radio, television, newspaper, new technology. I haven't worked for any of them, that meaning the IPTV group I used to work for. I've never worked for any of them where the refrigerator was spotless, where people ate their lunch, threw it away, took whatever home, and you didn't have crazy mold growing in the fridge and rotten fruit and all that kind of stuff. Or you had people not, you know, you always had people in there eating it too, and I thought, wow, how does anyone get into the stinky, awful refrigerator and eat their own stuff, let alone somebody else's? Makes no sense to me. So, who better to have on the show than somebody who's examining this very thing, and if this stuff makes you sick, but our pal Greg Stebbins from Men's Health Magazine. He's one of the editors there. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm good. Just chowing down on a sandwich here. What's this thing on it here, this funny colored thing?
Hey, come on. You know, listen, you've worked in the media industry for a while, too, and you know, have you worked in places where people really took care of the fridge, or have you had the same experience as me?
Well, let me tell you, part of the inspiration for this story is I actually work remotely for Men's Health, but I do work in an office. I rent an office. And the refrigerator in the shared office died, and I was the only one that figured it out. People kept putting their food in it. I'm complaining to management about replacing the refrigerator, and people are still – I mean, it's as warm in the refrigerator as it is in the office. And, you know, I was making a sign to say, don't use this anymore. And this, before I could put the sign up, this woman said to me, do you think my fish will be in there? Like, the refrigerator doesn't work. It hasn't worked for a week. You haven't figured that out? and people were still eating the food from it, and already people were getting sick because I had been sick for a couple of weeks because it took me a while to figure out why the refrigerator was slowly dying. So it took a while to figure out. It was cool, but it wasn't cold enough. And the only thing I used in the refrigerator, because it was pretty awful, was milk. And the milk was making me sick. So
oh,
I had
that's
sick
not
for
good.
A couple of weeks.
Wow. And I bet there's other people, the same thing. They have no idea that that's what's making them sick. They're not paying attention. They're blinded by the whole thing, and they just heave whatever it is in the refrigerator.
And that's the interesting thing is it's disgusting in there. So you open the door and you just don't even look or anything. You just kind of shove your food in there, and later you open and you grab it. But you somehow think that even though inside that refrigerator is completely skanky, that because you wrapped your food in Tupperware, that it's immune from all the germs that are living and swimming in there, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no kidding. And I guess you found out in all this, I was stunned to read this with a note that you sent me, that is this true? The bathroom at work could be a cleaner place than the shared office kitchen, huh?
It is, and it actually makes sense. I'll explain why. So, first of all, I'm not suggesting that you begin keeping your lunch in the bathroom. The point here just is that your office bathroom may actually be cleaner. And here's part of what's happened, is as the economy got tight, for one thing, more and more people are taking their lunches to work. That means more and more people are using the refrigerator. That means you stick your stuff in there, and it gets pushed to the back, so you could forget about it like everybody else, and so stuff ends up disappearing in the refrigerator for longer. That's part of the skank factor. The other thing is refrigerators, just by nature, if you overfill them, nothing gets chilled properly, because the whole way a refrigerator works is it's cold air moving over the food. Well, as more people bring their lunch, they say about 70% of people now are eating at their desk, as more people bring their lunch, refrigerators are getting fuller, and so that's part of the problem, is nobody's food is chilling correctly because the refrigerators are overfilled. And the third thing is, as the economy gets rough, companies cut their custodial budgets, and now nobody has the job of actually cleaning the refrigerator. But here's where the bathroom part comes in. The bathroom actually gets cleaned every day, so it makes sense that the bathroom would have less germs than the refrigerator, because one gets cleaned every day and the other might get cleaned once or twice a year.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, so what do you advise? I'm thinking you take like a little cool one of those cooler things.
Well, you may have to resort to that, but I'll tell you what's actually, you can kind of take this into your own hands. So the first thing is, do not decide that you're going to be the one who volunteers to clean the refrigerator and go throw everything out that looks rotten, because this may surprise you, but that may be the invitation to something like a lawsuit.
Really?
That's people's property, whether it's of value to you or not. You know, anybody can file a lawsuit, and it has happened. The people have emptied out refrigerators, and the next thing you know, they're in court defending themselves. So you need to go through the proper authorities. And here's how you win in this kind of battle. Here's how you get the company to take responsibility for that skanky refrigerator. You go to HR or you go to management and you use these magic words. You say, I think the state of the company refrigerator is affecting productivity and causing us to have more sick days than necessary. People in HR and management, they're all about productivity and reducing sick days, and you've just pointed out a problem. And the fix does not have to be something expensive. You could volunteer to be the one who cleans the refrigerator every Friday and throws out everything that's leftovers. And the first time you do it, it may be unpleasant, but every week thereafter, you're only cleaning out food that's a few days old. And it really is that simple. You put a sign on the refrigerator with permission of HR or management that says the fridge will be cleaned out every Friday. You know, you include in the sign that you're not throwing out salad dressing and ketchup and other condiments, you're throwing out leftovers and the containers, and now everybody's been warned, but you want to make sure that you go through the proper authorities.
All right, that's good advice, because I can, before you came on, I told the story where we were actually timing when lunches and things were disappearing, too, from refrigerators that were really skanky, awful. I don't know why anybody would eat the stuff out of there. kind of fridges, and it became a big war. It really did. And there were signs all over the place and memos all over the place, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, I can't believe somebody else pilfers somebody's half-eaten lunch. What are they
thinking? People were stealing other people's lunches. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you another thing that's really useful is if everybody take a pen like a Sharpie, put it on a piece of string, tape it or tie it to the door of the refrigerator, to the handle, and then if just get people in the habit of writing their name, the date, and the word save on anything they put in the refrigerator. Come Friday, if it doesn't have a name, a date, and the word save, it makes it that much easier to toss it. Once people begin to take responsibility for their food and it has to have their name on it, they're a lot better at cleaning it out so it doesn't turn into a month-old science experiment, too.
Yeah, and that'd be so embarrassing, too, if everybody realized you did that.
Yeah, you're the one that put that thing in there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Greg, thanks. We'll tell everyone to go to menshealth.com. It's a terrific magazine. I always go to Barnes & Noble, and I'm looking at the stuff you guys are writing about because it's good. It really is. It's useful. It's useful things that you write about. It's not just all those guys with the six-pack abs.
There's some of us that contribute six-pack abs, and some of us, like me, are kind of past that. So, you know, we have to contribute something else.
Very good. Greg, thanks. We appreciate your time.
It's great to be here, Kate.
All right. You have a good one. I know that some of you could relate to this. I thought that'd be funny. But the fact that he got sick, that's what intrigued me, that, you know, somebody got sick from a bad refrigerator, and then, as he was mentioning there on the air, that you could actually have a lawsuit, or all you have to do is threaten the productivity thing. If you want something done about it, you have a crappy old fridge in the break room. I know a lot of places are like that because they don't want to put any money into some fridge, and they just let it go and let it go and let it go. You threaten that, he's right, and things will change, boom, almost overnight. Hey, coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about WikiLeaks and the fallout from that. I know, it's like beating a dead horse, isn't it? But this is a big one, because it's only been since last week. It was last weekend when the story really broke, and it's no surprise, as to who the suspect is. Bradley Manning, we talked about him before, he was charged with a leak in the airstrike video. Remember this, the Fallujah thing that started to make the rounds? Well, now there's another guy who knows Bradley, and he's apparently the hacker who tipped off the feds as to what Bradley Manning was doing. We'll give you the skinny on the who, what, when, and why, all that stuff on WikiLeaks on the flip side. Stay with us.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and a converter recorder for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's Easy Recording Wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on GCNLive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Wow. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain clog past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. Wow. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain clog has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. Wow. The Drain Claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The Drain Claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the Drain Claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the Drain Claw at thedrainclaw.com. Wow.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The guy who runs WikiLeaks.org said, "I enjoy crushing bastards, so it's enjoyable work." He was talking about what pleasure he derives from publishing documents like the 92,000 classified military reports on Afghanistan that's making headlines around the world, naturally. Most of what's come out is there were some civilian operations that we hadn't heard about. There were informants' names loosely revealed in the documents, and the same thing with some of the troops, which is the sad part, because they're the ones that get burned in this whole thing should the Taliban or someone else decide to connect the dots and retaliate. And then it becomes a question of privacy, freedom of the press. You know, there's a million angles to the whole leak thing. My take on it was, shame on the Pentagon that the access was that easy. I mean, for goodness sake, who are they screaming and who has their hands on all of these classified reports? And the answer to that is, you gotta hang with me here on this one, it's a little convoluted, but the one guy is Bradley Manning, who I mentioned before we stepped aside. He's the guy who released the Fallujah video. You can think back to that. We talked about it a ton on ATN. Well, then the classified documents start to flow on WikiLeaks. And what the deal is a former computer hacker tipped off the feds to what was going on with Manning. And he said there was actually two men in Boston that have said that they've assisted. They're guys who went to MIT. Now, the computer hacker wouldn't identify them because he said at least one of them has threatened him. One of the men said they gave encryption software to Manning. They talked to him, convinced him, whatever, gave him the software, and taught the Army private how he could get the classified documents, how to use it. So Manning, as it was, an Army intelligence analyst. I already told you this. He's locked away. He's charged with the airstrike thing, and now he's the prime suspect in the disclosure of thousands of field reports, because they were field reports specifically, the classified stuff from the war in Afghanistan. So you got both men who are working for WikiLeaks and then this Army private. So, and they're all friends on Facebook. Now, the New York Times reported that the Army is looking into the leak, naturally, and they're expanding it to friends and other people who have helped Manning. So the two civilians claim that they're the ones that gave him the software, met with him, talked to him, exchanged emails with him about security issues, and took off from there. So basically they flipped him, I guess, is what I would say. Hey, dude, you know, listen, we want to get these documents. Here's what you can do. He has an axe to grind, whatever. That doesn't matter, because still it's Manning who decided to take the leap and do it. He decided to go ahead and leak videos and leak the documents. I mean, you know, he's done. He's absolutely done, because they have him nailed. That's why he's in solitary confinement. It's over with. Whatever was going on with him and the Army is history. But you can't take back what's already out there. Does this help or hinder the situation in Afghanistan? I think it hinders the situation as far as the informants are concerned, because who would gain any trust you've gained, who's going to want to give you that trust again? And we've been over this territory, and everybody's talking about it. It's the obvious, I call it the low-hanging fruit. It's the obvious thing when you look at what documents were leaked. That's the first thing I think that comes to your mind. And then the other is, I mean, here we go again with this big, bad government. They can't even, I mean, they don't know which end is up. They can't even figure out who's got their hands on the documents and how easy it is to hack into them with some software. You know, nothing is 100%. Nothing is fail-safe. But for goodness sake, you have an Army private who's able to get his hands on the field reports? I mean, come on. That means too many eyes are on it. That means there's no security system in there. Shouldn't the government, shouldn't the Pentagon have one of the better security systems that they could possibly have? Wouldn't they spend money on that? Wouldn't they have the best that there is to offer? And the answer to that question should be yes, but of course it's not. So in moving forward, how does this kill the efforts in Afghanistan, or does it? You know, originally a week ago when I jumped on the air and this was the big story, the water cooler buzz that I like to call it. Well, you had people from the Pentagon saying, well, it's going to take us a couple of weeks to sift through what was really the information that was leaked, but it's nothing that is earth-shattering. It's nothing that is going to blow this gig apart. And now they're taking it back a little bit, because you find out, oh, yeah, informants are named and troops flat out are named. And that can't be good for people who are in the field. It's like list. It's like handing over a list of, okay, here's the villages and here are some of the people who are helping the coalition forces. Well, you put two and two together and there's your answer. So in the middle of what's happened with the leaks with the Pentagon, and is anything going to happen? You've got, sadly, one of the worst months in Afghanistan as far as troop loss is concerned, 6 U.S. service members killed in southern Afghanistan. I mean, that's the hairiest area of them all in this whole war effort in the last 2 days. So it's made the death toll in July the worst since the war started 9 years ago. Friday, heading into the weekend, you had one soldier who was killed in an insurgent attack, two others in an improvised explosive device strike, too many of those. And NATO's International Security Assistance Force also said that IEDs killed a couple of troops in another fracas, and another soldier died in another IED attack. Pretty much most of them fell down that way. So their deaths bring the July total to 66. 88 international soldiers, including Americans, have died this month. And you keep tracing it back to the deadly evil nonsense under the ground or hidden away, and it's the IEDs. That's the fatal thing that happened in Iraq and in Afghanistan that has to be dealt with. The bigger tanks, the tanks that can try to spot the IEDs, all that stuff helps. But the Taliban, this is what they do. They know it still works. Homemade bombs is the weapon of choice, no question about it. So, sure, the military does raids, and they try to track down the guys who were staging the attacks, the Taliban or Islamic terrorists or whatever you want to name them, but it's really Taliban in the case of Afghanistan, that are perpetrating this. But it's a hard thing to do, especially when you don't have the intel on them. And, boy, it's grim statistics with this strategy that is, I think, a bungled strategy in the war effort doesn't make for warm, fuzzy feelings at home. Now more than ever, you're hearing a lot of people that agreed with the situation. Okay, we got to go in. We have to do what we can to kill Taliban, to kill Al-Qaeda, to get information, whatever. Because ultimately, if you trace it back to the United States, won't this keep us safer? You wouldn't have as many sleeper cells, maybe. You do whatever you can to hack off every limb, in other words. And you had the critical thing that happened when McChrystal was dismissed because of what he said in the Rolling Stone magazine. Then you plop in General Petraeus, who was initially described as General Petraeus, and suddenly he's the guy. There have been a lot of disconcerting things to hurt the morale of the military. But, you know, here's the question. As I tell you all this and we talk about the leaks and what's out there and the informants and the deadliest month at 66 and what's the strategy, what's the end game, are any of you who think we should be in Afghanistan changing your mind? When you listen to all of this, when you listen to secret attacks that you knew nothing about, when you hear about some of what's happening with the opium fields, does that make you think, maybe I was wrong in thinking we should stay? Maybe this is a time to think about that real end date. So far, by the way, 1,700 U.S. and coalition troops have died in Afghanistan. All right, you can throw in your 2 cents. Have you flipped on the Afghanistan war? Is it steady the course no matter what's coming at you? 800-259-5791. Plus, we're going to check the mail on the flip side.
question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative news newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's three-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling four-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Besides, I've still served two years. That's what he goes there for. Is to unlock the door. All around him criticize and slave. Until it's cracked along a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
Forever to survive on lust, but man, we might have to if you believe some of the headlines I've been reading lately. We're going to check the mail in a second, but I get a thing called Investor's Business Daily, and the headline the other day was this: will Washington's failures lead to second American revolution? I know that we've talked about this, like, hey, if we're going to get martial law, if all these horrible things are going to happen, we're getting our guns, and we're breaking off, we want to secede, we want to do this, we want to do that. Deep down, all of us bleed red, white, and blue, and we don't want that to happen. But what has happened that's very, very, very scary, I think, is when we look at the deficit, when we look at where we're at as a country, and that number is I mean, it is so staggering. How do you back that number down? I've talked to enough economic-minded people as to, seriously, what do we do to back this up? $1.4 trillion. I mean, that's endemic. So there is a fear gauge connected to that. And how about this? I don't even like this guy, but the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, is saying that America's financial future is, and this is a quote from him, unusually uncertain. What does that mean? The guy who's controlling the cash flow is saying it's unusually uncertain. He's backing it up that we're screwed because where we're going with overreaching in taxes and what's happening now with some of the regulations, it is scary. It is. Where are we going to end up with health care? What's going to happen there when it's out of reach because the small businesses are stuck? That means that you're going to play chicken with the health care, and a lot, I think more people will take the fine. And then the Bush tax breaks. You know, you look at this, and those current law tax rates will expire. So once that happens, it means that you could possibly have the government impose a $3.5 trillion, or this administration, 10-year tax increase that would absolutely harpoon job-creating capital investment. Because the economy is struggling to recover. So then you've got the problem with the borders and the illegals whose education isn't there, whose skill level isn't there. So how far out of control does that continue to fester? You know, it's like a problem with weeds. You know, you have a backyard. I have this backyard that has a lot of growth in it. It's very pretty when everything's trimmed, but it's a nightmare when it's not, because then it's like gray gardens. So if you don't pull some weeds once in a while, it festers and really screws things up. So the headline, when I read the headline at first, I laughed at myself and said, oh, here we go again. But if some things aren't pulled back, it is a very angry nation. Maybe they're not so far off the mark. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. You get the first crack at this. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, Gorgeous?
What do you think? You live up north. When you hear things like, oh, we could have a second revolution, we could have states secede, people are furious in America. What do the Canadians say? You're tapped in. You read the papers. You listen to what people are saying in Canada. What are they saying?
We've got our own problems.
So they're saying, forget America. We're not going there, so we just want to keep up our trade.
Well, I know here in Quebec, I mean, there's also that chance that, you know, like if the separatists ever get in again, they would try and have a referendum to see that if we could succeed from the rest of Canada. But I don't think that'll... I mean, okay, granted, the 95 referendum was close, but I don't think that'll happen, at least not in my lifetime. Besides, the head of the separatists here is a lady who's got more money than she knows what to do with, but she says it's all for a good cause, which we all know, yeah, her good cause, herself.
No, that's not good. If somebody's got their hand in the till or it's really slanted for them, usually that empire crumbles.
Right, right, right. And, you know, and she lives in a very, you know, she has a house in a very... in a very ritzy neighborhood, and all she gives a damn about is herself. You know, that's neither here nor there. Unfortunately, what the separatists did in the last provincial election here is they wanted to try and get the ethnic vote. And what they did was they put ethnics in 12 ridings, what you'd call electoral districts, just to remind people. But, you know, we do
sure.
Everything. And she put 12 ethnics in writings, they never knew they had a chance of winning, but it just looked good, you know. And you mentioned something about illegals taking jobs. I'm just thinking, illegals will take anything because, you know, with all due respect, I think John Q. Public American will not take that, you know, general work where, you know, in a warehouse or working as a restaurant in a busboy as a dishwasher, because no one else will want it. So the illegals will take it. So, I mean, the owners figure, okay, my job's filled, but at the same time, I could be breaking the law, so it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. You're right, because what's happened is that's why it's out of control.
Right.
The corporations or even the restaurants, doesn't have to be some big meat. I always use the meatpacking people because there have been so many busts, and certainly not every meatpacking place is complicit in that. But you're right. There's restaurants, there's hotels, there are a lot of construction small companies that do that. There are a lot of people in residential areas. So that it's the same thing, because you can pay someone less. You pay them less, so you have more money in your pocket. And would an American do some of those jobs? I think they would, but not for that rate. That's part of the problem. I think it's more about the rate. Hey, we'll get cheap labor.
Right.
This helps us. And then, you know, ultimately maybe it helps other people because we're not going to pass the cost on to you. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It just keeps going on and on and on and round and round and round. Hey, Sam, thanks. We're up against it. Well, quickly, we're going to go to the mailbag and hit a couple of interesting topics that all of you have jumped in on. Most of it has to do with the WikiLeaks.org. This one from Joe in Austin. Hey, Kate, I've heard you talk about the WikiLeaks thing. Good for you that you're not completely slamming the founder. I like how you said that if the documents drop into your lap and then this is what you do and this is what you claim to do, what do you think ultimately he's going to do as the guy behind that internet site? Well, the whole idea is to create buzz, whether it's Drudge Report or Huffington Post or whatever the publication or whatever the internet site is, to drive traffic. Controversy sells. And apparently this army private was pretty weak or had an axe to grind. Sounds like he had an axe to grind because he felt like the things that they were doing were wrong, some of the things they were doing in the villages, and he wanted it exposed. I think that's his angle. I don't know that, but I believe it is. And that's how he got it out. And it was easy to push him over the ledge. WikiLeaks pushed him over the edge, but he got the information. Quickly, this last one from Dennis C. Delaney, when are you bringing back Nail the Score? I heard somebody last week ask you about the Dallas Cowboys. Doesn't that idiot know you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan? I love it. Oh, and we've got some good stuff to give away coming up when we start doing Nail the Score again. That's like in a month or so, maybe 6-7 weeks. I got to pick a solid date for it, and trust me, we'll let you know when that's going to happen.
Idiot! It's simple!
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time!